Good morning, Blackhawk Church. Good to see you all. Welcome to those of you college students who are back for the year. To those of you watching online, joining us, will you stand and join us in singing and praising the Lord this morning, wherever you're watching from? Good to thank our God for all that he's done.
All my words fall short. I've got nothing new. as I often do, that every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah. I've got one response, I've got just one move, with my arms stretched wide,
sing it out. Sing this together to spur our souls on to song, spur each other on to song. Sing this out loudly, sing out boldly to our King Jesus.
Come on, my soul, don't you get tired of me, lift up your soul. You got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we beg of you that as this fall semester starts, so many things in our jobs and here at the universities in town for students coming back to town and high school students, elementary school kids, anybody who's in school. There's so many new things starting. And with that newness comes transition and fatigue. And so, God, even in all of that, we pray that a song of thankfulness and gratitude would be what's in our hearts. Instill that in us this morning as we listen to your word preached, God. As we gather together, we pray, Spirit, that you would work mightily in our hearts, that you would shape us to be more like Jesus in all that we say and all that we do. So God, do that work among us this morning. We love you. We pray all of this in your name. And all of God's people said, amen.
Hey, everybody. For those of you who are new, my name is Tiffany. I'm one of the pastors on staff. It's great to see you guys today. Happy Labor Day weekend. I hope you guys have been able to get out and enjoy that incredible weather that we've been having this weekend. And like Matt prayed, for all of you students in the room, Labor Day weekend means that this is your kind of your last weekend of freedom before school starts, so which is exciting. Speaking of students, I know we have quite a few college students here in the room as well as joining us online. And so if you are a new college student, let me just say for all of us, welcome to Madison, welcome to Blackhawk. We're glad that you chose to be with us this morning. All right, well, normally at this time, I would say, hey, fifth and sixth graders, you can head on out to the atrium for 56. But today I get to say something a little bit different. I get to say, hey, fourth, fifth, and sixth graders, you can head on out to the atrium for our first Sunday of our new BKids programming called Launch. And so if you're in fourth, fifth, or sixth grade, head on out. If you're in fourth, fifth, or sixth grade and you didn't know that this was happening and you're not signed up, you can grab your parent or guardian, and if you want to go, and you can head on out there, and there will be a volunteer who will help you get set up. So thanks for worshiping with us. While they're heading out, I want the rest of you to go ahead and grab your seats. All right, so, well, here at Blackhawk, the fall also means it's the beginning of a ministry year kickoff. And so we have a bunch of opportunities available for you to kind of take your next step into the life of our community and into your spiritual growth. And so I'm going to run through some of those opportunities right now. And so there's quite a few of them. So feel free just to like jot down one or two that make the most sense to you, and then you can get online later to check out more. So if you are a middle school or high school student, we have community groups that are just for you on Wednesday evenings all around the area. So you can check out online for more information on that. We also have our Asian American student ministry that meets on Friday evenings. If you are a college student or you're college age, we have our Blackhawk college age ministry called CAM, and it meets on Tuesday evenings at 7 p.m. at Upper House, which is where our downtown site is located. They're starting actually this Tuesday with some great worship, great teaching. I think they'll have crumble cookies this week, and it's just a great way to get to know other people in your age and stage of life. And so, and for the rest of y'all, for adults, we have, we've been talking about over the last few weeks, we have groups, courses, and Blackhawk Bible study all kicking off in just a couple of weeks. So if you've been hearing about it, but you haven't kind of pressed go on that, now would be the time to do that. So if you're new around here, community groups are our primary way of getting connected into community. So it's just a great way to meet some people, talk about the sermon, and spend some time in prayer with one another. If you've never heard of Blackhawk Bible Study, it's an opportunity to dig deeper with a group of people around studying a particular book of the Bible. So this semester, we're going to be working through the book of 1 Peter, which will be great. So we have groups for men, women, or co-ed groups, whether that be online or in person. And then finally, we started this last year, but we have a new set of courses that we've designed for this fall. And so these are just opportunities where you're able to learn in community with other people, kind of dig deeper into a particular topic, have space for conversation, asking questions. These are so fun. And so be sure to check out the website for all of those things to learn more. All right, well, today we are wrapping up our summer series, Summer Camp. And so with that, I'll hand it off to Pastor Chris Dolson.
A
Okay, welcome to Blackhawk Church. My name is Chris. I'm one of the pastors on the teaching team here at Blackhawk. Welcome to all of you who are in this room with me right here at the Brader Way site. Welcome to those of you who are watching on a screen, maybe in Gospel Fusions or Tradition. Welcome to those of you who are joining us at Blackhawk downtown and Blackhawk Fitchburg. And a special shout out goes to all the college students who are back here in Madison. Hey, all sites and venues, let's hear it for the college students who are back. Awesome. Yes. Totally. We love you guys. We are a university community church, and we love you guys. So many of you are coming back, and so welcome back. And some of you, you're coming for the very first time, and maybe this is your first Sunday at all at Blackhawk Church. So welcome to Blackhawk. We are glad that you are checking us out. Hey, next week, our senior pastor, Matt Mesker, will start a two-part series called Uniquely Us. And part of what Pastor Matt will be saying in that series is that we are a university community church, and we do love the city and the university here in Madison. But he'll talk a lot more about the kind of things that make us a unique church in this day and age, and how we're trying to join God in his mission to reach the city and the world. These are two messages from Pastor Matt's heart, so you're not going to want to miss those talks. But today, Labor Day Sunday weekend, you're stuck with me. And thanks for that. You guys need to have low expectations. You have way too high of expectations. So this is Labor Day weekend, and so Labor Day means a lot of different things to different people. This is the close of our summer series, and it's the close of summer, and school is getting ready, and we're about ready to start a new season, fire up the barbecue maybe tomorrow, get ready. You know, actually, when I think of the Labor Day weekend, something like this image comes in to my mind. I feel like it's like the start of the race. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the calendar might say the start of the year is January, but in the way our lives run, September is really kind of the start of things. I see a bunch of people shaking their head like this. It feels like the start, because, you know, the summer break is over, vacations are over, except if you're old like me. So if you're old like me and my wife, we're just about ready to go on our vacation because we learned a long time ago that September is a great month to go on vacations. If you're old, the reason is because none of you are there. So we're heading to see the sequoias in California, a big road trip in just a couple weeks. But at any rate, so don't go there because we're going there. But I just feel like there's a little tension in the air. And it's just a pause before, boom, and there's work, school, boom, race, and it's just fast. We're about ready to start into that. So the teaching team was thinking about this Sunday. We thought, well, what would be a good talk for this Sunday? Probably a good talk would be, do we see the weeks ahead the way everybody else sees the weeks ahead? As Christ followers, should we think of our week differently than the rest of the world? Well, the answer is yes. And it's not hard to think of a passage that demonstrates that. Take your Bibles and turn to the fourth of the Ten Commandments. And it's a commandment about work and rest, found in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20. I'll be reading from the New International Version. It goes like this. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to Yahweh. Whenever you see capital L-O-R-D in all caps, it's the editor's way of talking about the personal name of God, which is Yahweh. On it, you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days Yahweh made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, Yahweh blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. Two things I'd like to point out in this passage. There's been a lot of time on this one passage, but just two things I want to point out. The first thing I want to point out is that work and rest go together. This is a command about both work and rest. So 6 days you shall do all your work, 6 days, and the seventh day you're not to do any work. Work and rest go together. Like peanut butter and salt and bacon and work and, yeah, work and rest go together. But we normally don't think of work and rest as going together, but according to this passage, they do. Second thing I want to point out is this. The reason that we should work and rest like this is because, what's the reason? God did. So this four is the explanation. For in 6 days, Yahweh made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So this is the only command of the Ten Commandments that comes with an explanation. Here's the explanation. You're to do that because this is God's pattern. This is what God did. When we work, and what goes with work? What goes with work? Rest. Work and rest go together. It's not just work, work, rest. The reason we do this is because God did. When we work and rest, we're imaging God. We're being like God. That's just weird. That's just plain weird. I mean, I don't know anybody who thinks this way. Somebody comes up to you and says, well, why do you do your work? I'm trying to be like God. Nobody says that. Do you know anybody that talks like that? Hey, I noticed you're taking a day off today. Why are you doing that? Well, I'm just tired. No. That's what we normally say. But the biblical answer is, why are you taking a day off today? I'm trying to be like God. That's why. Do you know anybody that talks like that? This is weird. Hey, you're resting today. Good for you. Well, trying to be like God. Hey, I noticed you're taking some time off. Good for you. Yeah, trying to be like God. Nobody thinks this way. So what I decided to do for the rest of this talk was to just talk in ways that nobody thinks. The rest of the talk is just weird. Because it's a rethinking of both work and rest. And I'm telling you, we don't think like the Bible speaks, but we need to rethink both work and what goes with work. We need to rethink them. So let's do some rethinking. First, let's rethink work. Rethink work. When I go to work, I bring God's temple to work. Weird. 1 Corinthians 6. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. Everybody look at my body. Everybody look at my body. Temple of God, right? Temple of God. No one thinks this way. You didn't get up this morning and look in the mirror and go, oh, temple of God. Nobody thinks this way. This is really strange. The way the world thinks is this building that I'm in right here on Brader Way, this building is the temple of God. And you religious people can do whatever you want in that building, but don't take your religion outside of that building. The Bible thinks exactly the opposite of that. Because actually, this building is not a temple. This is a temple of God. When I placed my faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone for my salvation, the Holy Spirit started to indwell me, and I became a temple of God. We have a bunch of mobile temples in this building right now. A bunch of mobile temples watching online. We are mobile temples, and wherever we go, we are like a temple of God, and we bring God's temple to work with us. Some of you are saying, whoa, 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 Pastor Chris, whoa, 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 whoa. That just sounds like something a pastor would say. I mean, if you ever worked in the real world, you'd know how stupid this is. Because, Pastor Chris, there's no way that if I stand up on my desk and say, behold the temple of God, I mean, I would be fired like that, Pastor Chris. I mean, just fired just like that. And I totally understand that. And you probably should be fired if you actually do that. I'm not telling you you should stand on your desk and say that. I'm telling you this is the way you should think. You should think this way. We segment God off from work. And that's not biblical. Because when we go to work, we're actually taking the temple of God to work with us. Somebody say amen. Here's another weird thing. Rethink work. When I'm frustrated at work, I see it as an opportunity to grow spiritually. Nobody thinks this way. Life is difficult and at times it's overwhelming, and some of the most frustrating things that happen in our world are related to work. It's just when we're frustrated at work, we're just like, this is all, this is terrible. I can't believe they did that. I can't believe I'm supposed to do this. This is unethical. This is wrong. I can't believe we get so frustrated. We don't see it as an opportunity for spiritual growth. And it is. It's an opportunity for the Holy Spirit who indwells us to demonstrate who He is. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit comes out and should come out in our workplace because we're temples of the Holy Spirit. When we are frustrated at work, it's an opportunity for us to grow spiritually. All those frustrations that we've... I love the way Eugene Peterson translates James 1. Eugene Peterson writes this. Consider it... This is James 1 in a paraphrase from Eugene Peterson. Consider it a sheer gift, friends. When tests and challenges come at you from all sides, you know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. Spiritual formation process is called discipleship. Discipleship, the word disciple comes from a Greek word mathetes. It means, we get our word mathematics from it. It's just the idea of learning. We're learning to be more like Jesus in our workplace. There was a man who was a professor of philosophy at the University of Southern California for 40 years named Dallas Willard. And he thought this way about the University of Southern California in the philosophy department. He writes, Dallas Willard, "The place of discipleship is wherever I am now. It's wherever I am now and whatever I am doing now. If we don't understand that, then most of our life will be left out of the place of discipleship. It may be home, it may be work, play, or church, but discipleship should take place wherever I am now. When I go to work at USC and I walk into a class, that's my place of discipleship. That's the place where I am learning from Jesus how to do everything I do in the kingdom of God. And I am constantly learning it. And I am a long way from the end of the lesson. Sometimes I prefer that the lessons would stop, but they don't, because life moves on and students are different and colleagues change. Wherever I am, that's where I do discipleship. Wherever I am, because wherever I go, Temple of God goes with me. Somebody asked Dallas Willard once, how do you get Christianity in the corporate boardroom? He said, it's simple. Have a Christian walk into the boardroom and sit down. There's no other way. How do you get Christianity in your lab if you work at the university? It's simple. Go in, do your work. How do you get Christianity in the schools in Madison? Simple. Christians go in and do school. You don't have to pass any laws. You just be a Christian. And you work on your relationship with God wherever you are. It's a rethinking of work. Rethink work. So what am I saying about work? Rethinking? Here we go. When I go to work, I bring God's temple to work. When I am frustrated at work, I see it as an opportunity to grow spiritually. All right, let's rethink rest. Rethink rest. Let's look, when I rethink rest, when I stop working, I'm being like God. Let's go back to that passage in Exodus. Go back to that passage. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigners residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. The English word Sabbath translates this Hebrew word, Shabbat. Shabbat means to stop and to cease. It's not the idea that God worked and then he was tired. It's the idea that God worked and he stopped. That's the key thing. So you work, you may not be tired, but then you stop and then you work again and then you stop. And it's this stopping, this ceasing, when we do that, we're being like God. Work and rest go together. But many of us are just and no rest. Work, stop. Work, stop. So let's take a look at your month of September. Here's your month right here. Everybody's same month, looks the same. So see how this pattern, how many of you, when you look at a calendar, think of God? It's his invention, actually. He invented that week. We still have that in our calendars. But it's not just a string of days. The segments are divided. You see that? You've got weeks there. And so you work six of those days, and you stop working on another day. To the people that Moses was writing to in Exodus, that was their Sabbath, was their Saturday. For many of us, it's Sunday. Because if you're in ministry like my life has been, Sunday's not a rest day. You have to find another day. Doesn't matter what day. You work six, and then you stop working. It's that stopping, that pausing, that gives meaning to the hecticness of our life. Let me illustrate that. Here's a famous passage in Scripture, which makes no sense because there's no space. But then as you intentionally add space to this mess, this famous passage becomes clearer. You add space between the letters. Yeah, and then space between the words. And then you add space between the lines. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He does that when we intentionally put space in our lives. It's that space is key. It's not just the notes that make music. It's the notes interplaying with space that makes music. It's the most important key on any of your devices as you type. It's the key that you hit more than any other key. That's the space bar. If you don't hit that space bar, whatever you're texting, whatever you're typing, makes no sense. How you guys doing? You follow me? I feel like I'm yelling at you guys. You get it? Space. The reason I'm yelling is because I'm not very good at it myself. Pretty bad at it, actually. You know, as we put these talks together on the teaching team, we worked in a collaborative effort. So there's a team of us that work together. These talks are done weeks ahead of time, and we push back, and it's a collaborative effort. And so we're putting this talk together, and I was coming to this part about rest. And I had something all written out. I'm sure it was good. And the teaching team pushed back, and they said, did you do that when you were like the senior pastor? Oh, like, get serious with me here now. Because for like 38 years, I was a senior pastor at either one church or another. 60, 70 hours a week. And I was pretty bad at it. And the teaching team said, yeah, talk about that. Talk about when you failed and how you weren't any good at it. You want me to talk about that? I can talk about that all day long. My wife could come up here and talk and lecture all day long about how bad I was at the intentional space. Now that I'm emeritus, it's a different world now. Pray for Pastor Matt. He has a very hard job. So this woman do. This continues the weirdness of the talk. I'm going to talk about, looking back on my life, what I would have done differently. Because I'm not very good at resting. First point. I would not be driven by the tyranny of the urgent. And in my world of ministry, it's just always, always happening. Something is wrong someplace with someone, many people, all the time. Tyranny of the urgent. It drives me. Tyranny of the urgent. It was actually, and I'm not trying to offend Black Hawk Church, but it was actually worse when I was a pastor in Shreveport, Louisiana for 10 years before I came here. It was a smaller church. We had no staff. Church of about 100, 110, no staff. And we had those little picture directories, you know, with books, those kind of things. And everybody in the church had my phone number. Do you have my phone number? There's a reason for that. Small church pastor, everybody has a phone number. And everybody's calling me all the time, all the time. I had a friend named Bill who was a missionary surgeon in a remote part of Nigeria. He visited us while we were in pastoring in Shreveport. And he saw how hectic my life was. And then he said to me, you know, Chris, when I go on vacation, people die. And I just thought, huh? You know, like, huh? Like a metaphor, figure of speech. No. There's no other surgeons around for hundreds and hundreds of miles. When I take a break, people literally die. So how can you justify that? How can you possibly take a break? Because if I don't take a break, I'll wear myself out completely, and I'll have no doctor, and I'll be worse off. I have to take a break. You have to take a break. You're killing yourself. I would not have been driven so much by the tyranny of the urgent, and it's always happening. What else would I have done? I would have learned to say no more. No. And probably upset a bunch of people at the same time. It's just the role of a leader. So I read a book late in my ministry. I wish I'd read earlier. It's this book by Greg McKeown called Essentialism. And I've recommended this book before. I love the front cover graphic there. A couple of my best friends helped me put some lessons together from his book, and they kindly put it, this is a work of intervention, they actually put it in a card, and I actually put it in front of my desk. I still have it in front of my desk, and it really helped me learn how to say no more, because I wasn't any good at it. And so here is this card. If you suffer with the same problem I had, you might want to take your phones out and take a picture of this slide right now. Questions to ask before saying yes. Is it heck yes? If not, say no. You know, people are always asking for something. If it's heck yes, yes. If it's not a heck yes, say no. What is the compelling reason to say yes? Just think about that. Is there someone else who could do this as well or better? And especially my job as a senior leader, my big part of my job is to develop and train other people, give them real power and authority, and get out of the way. But a lot of times you don't do that. You feel like you should always do the work. No. Somebody else. What will it result in terms of time and follow-up? What are the unintended consequences? You know, as you're talking on the phone, somebody's asking you to do something, you look at this list and you go, what are the unintended consequences here? If guilt is the only reason, it's not a good reason. Pastors are driven by guilt. Maybe you are too. What happens if I say no and think that through? Little thing that helped me, maybe it'll help you. The last thing that I didn't do very well and I should have done a lot better is set aside times of silence and solitude. I would practice that more. This is what Jesus did. Take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 1. Or just watch off the screen. Mark 1, verse 32. This is a kind of a synopsis of a day in his life. It's right at the end of a Sabbath. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Yeah, no kidding. So who's the everyone here? So scholars tell us this is in Capernaum. Scholars tell us that Capernaum is a town about 1,500 back in those days. So I don't think Mark is saying all 1,500 people were at the door, but the sense is there's a lot of people there, and they're waiting for him. And how does Jesus respond? They all have needs, and he can solve every one of their needs like that. How does he respond? He gets up early, very early, before everybody else, and he goes, finds a solitary place to pray. Now, I'm assuming he did this without coffee. Because according to legend, coffee wasn't discovered for another 800 years when an Ethiopian herdsman found out that when his goats ate a particular bean, they had more energy. Makes me respect Jesus even more. There's no way I'm wake up early without coffee. I need coffee. He had no coffee. And he gets up, and he goes to a solitary place, even though the tyranny of the urgent was all around him. And this is not a one-off. He did this over and over again. We read in Luke 5, "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." He often did this. It's just part of his lifestyle. I didn't do it enough. How are you doing with this? Do you regularly get off to places to pray, to be silent? So that's what I would suggest to you. Find a place and do this on a regular basis. Get away. Be silent. Pray. Some of you have never done that. It's pretty simple, actually. First, you just find a place. Well, where? Where am I going to find? What is a place? Well, this is a good place, actually. It's Brader Way Building. Absolutely. I mean, it's staffed most of the time. You just come over here. You don't have to call us. Just come over here. Got a big atrium. Got a prayer room. Fitchburg Building is not staffed all the time. Don't go there. Upper House is staffed all the time, the downtown site. You can go there. Welcome to go there anytime. I just talked to the director of the Upper House this week. He said, yeah, just tell him anytime. Just come. What should he take with you? Well, take a pillow, maybe, if you're tired. Lay down on the floor. It's okay. Take a Bible. Take a journal. Stop. Well, I don't know what I would do, Pastor. I don't know what I don't know how I would fill up the time. It's easy, you guys. Just don't listen to one of your devices. Just turn on notifications and just stop. Maybe you want to read a passage of the Bible. What passage would be a good passage? You guys know what passage I'm going to go to right now? Here's a good passage, Proverbs 3. Have you guys seen this before? Yeah, this was your assignment. I gave it last June. Remember this? Let's say this together with me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. That's a good passage to memorize when you have some time away. That totally works. Here's a book that came out right before the pandemic by John Mark Comer. I love the title, Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. Some of you are saying, Pastor Chris is just like not real. You just don't understand my life. I couldn't possibly do that. I got kids all the time. I can't possibly do this kind of thing. Trade with someone who's in your situation. You watch their kids while they go off for a time of silence and solitude, and they watch your kids while you have a time. It shouldn't cost anything. Just find someone else who's in your similar situation. If you run your place of work, are you helping your employees do this kind of thing, to have a time off for solitude and silence? It's what Jesus did. He hit the space bar on a regular basis. Even when he could meet all the needs, he hit the space bar because his need to be with his Father was greater than his need to heal all the people. Okay, here we are. Boom. Get ready. Go. How are we going to do these next few weeks? Are we going to be like the rest of the world and just work, go, school, 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 school? Or are we going to rethink, be weird, rethink the way we work and rethink the way we rest? Here's a prayer that I wrote that I thought might be a prayer for all of us as we are at the starting line and ready to take off. And you just have to trust me. Thought about it. I think it makes sense. Pray this together with me. Everybody reading together out loud. Heavenly Father, help me as I get ready to start this new year. Help me to see my place of work as a place of discipleship where I can learn from you as I do my work. May my work be used by you to further your redemptive purposes in the world and to enhance the common good for our community. And may you help me hit the space bar more and more in my life. May you help me be as intentional about finding rest and solitude as Jesus was. Give me the discipline and wisdom to learn how to say no so that I can say yes to the things that will help me become more and more like Jesus. In Jesus' name, for the sake of his reputation, all people said, amen. Amen.
Stand and join us in singing and continue our prayer and seeking of the Lord, asking that we would build our life upon who God is and rest in him.
I'm calling on the God of Jacob, whose love endures through generations. I know that you will keep your covenant. I'm calling on the God of Moses, the one who opened up the ocean. I need you now to do the same thing for me.
Let's call out to our God this morning.
Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh, I'm standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness. I'm calling on the God of Mary, whose favor rests upon the lowly. All things are possible. I'm calling on the God of David, who made a shepherd boy courageous. I may not face Goliath, but I've got my own giants. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my prayers back then, and you will answer now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You were providing then. You are providing now.
the same God. You are the same God. You moved in power then. God, move in power now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You were a healer then. You are a healer now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You were a savior then. You are a savior now. You are the same God. You are the same God. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh, 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 rock, oh, rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you.
Amen. Well, y'all, we're at the end of our summer camp series. So if this were a real summer camp, this would be the time when we would be have our backpacks on, we'd be waving goodbye to the new friends we've made, we've been getting ready, we'd be ready to get into our cars and head on the way home. And maybe in the car, we'd be thinking about the things that we learned together and experiences that we had over the summer. And we'd be wondering, how am I going to take what I've learned and put it into my everyday life? And so in a lot of ways, that's the opportunity that we have right now, this week. As we get into our cars today and as we spend our time this week, I want to challenge you to consider, what are the things that you learned this summer? What did you experience this summer? And how do you want to take that into your everyday life? So for some of you, maybe there's a practice that you learned about this summer, a spiritual practice that really was interesting to you. Maybe you want to try to practice that this semester. Maybe for others of you, there's an invitation from God to step into community, or maybe to step back into community after a long way away. Or maybe for some of you, it's to take a course. You know, we've designed some of these courses with some of these spiritual practices in mind. We have courses about the spiritual practice of serving, of crossing boundaries. We have a whole course about what it looks like to follow Jesus over in a lifetime and how we work with God. So I don't know what it is, but here's what I do know, is that God has an invitation for every single one of us. And so this week, I want to challenge you to figure out what that invitation from God is for each one of us. All right. Well, y'all, as we leave today, I would invite you to open your hands to receive this blessing from the book of Hebrews. Now may the God of peace, Blackhawk Church, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Have a great week, you guys.